The Chinese president inspected the city of Fuzhou during his trip to Fujian province. Xi Jinping visited Fudao, a 19-kilometer-long pedestrian walkway, as well as an optical lens company. He learned about local efforts in urban planning and development and the protection of historical and cultural blocks, as well as corporate innovation and development. China and Saudi Arabia have agreed to oppose any interference in the internal affairs of other countries and to defend the interests of developing countries. The agreement came as part of a meeting between the Chinese foreign minister and the Saudi Arabian crown prince. Wang Yi says advancing ties with Saudi Arabia is a priority for China's Middle East policies. He suggests the two sides strengthen cooperation in trade, investment, and infrastructure, as well as in artificial intelligence, 5G, big data, and aerospace technologies. A report says air quality in Beijing's improved in the last few years thanks to the implementation of clean air actions. The report was released by a group of leading British and Chinese scientists. More than 150 scientists have spent 5 years conducting one of the largest air pollution field campaigns in Beijing. The scientists have found that sources of key air pollutants in the city center are much lower than predicted, but concentrations were still relatively high in 2016 and 17. Researchers also discovered that cooking oil emissions are a source of potentially hazardous fine particles in Beijing. The report also says road traffic is not a major source of primary PM2.5, but remains a significant source of nitrogen oxide. The torch relay of the Tokyo 2020 Olympics has started in Fukushima. It marks the beginning of a 4-month countdown to the delayed Summer Games. The top U.S. infectious disease expert says the nation has not turned the corner yet on the coronavirus pandemic, despite a rise in vaccinations. Dr. Anthony Fauci says the number of daily infections is still too high in the country to declare victory against the virus.
We do have a lot of challenges in front of us with regard to the high level of daily infections, yesterday being 54,974. When you're at that level, I don't think you can declare victory and say you've turned the corner. You've got to continue to do what we're doing, more vaccinations, and continue to do public health measures until we actually do turn the corner.
While daily cases are still high at around 55,000, the figure is a significant drop from the 250,000 daily cases at the peak of the winter wave. So far, more than 2.5 million Americans are getting vaccinated each day. Democrats in the U.S. Congress have renewed their calls for tighter gun laws following the recent shootings in Boulder and Atlanta.
The Senate cannot delay considering those bills. They need to send them to President Biden's desk for his signature. And I hope in the House that we can move quickly to consider legislation to reinstate the assault weapons ban. The weapons of war have no place in our communities.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has vowed to bring up the two House-passed gun control bills, which are also supported by President Joe Biden. The head of the International Chamber of Shipping has raised concerns about the impact of the current blockade of the Suez Canal to worldwide trade. A skyscraper-sized container ship has become wedged across Egypt's Suez Canal and blocked all traffic in the waterway, threatening to disrupt global shipping. Guy Platten says the Suez Canal is one of the most strategic waterways in the world, as it carries around 12% of world trade annually.
We're already seeing evidence that ships are starting to gather at the entrances to the canal, both ends. And so that process, that logjam, is starting to grow as every hour that passes. So it's a really serious incident. It shows you how fragile the global supply chains can be at times.
The Ever Given, a Panama-flagged ship that carries cargo between Asia and Europe, ran aground in the Suez Canal on Tuesday.